Good morning, brothers and sisters, and also friends who are connecting with us this morning, not only from our own city, but perhaps from another city, state, or country. We hope that everyone is doing very well, and we pray that we will be able to see you face to face pretty soon, so we can hug each other and praise the Lord together in one place. We pray that this worship service will be pleasing to our Lord and will bring each of you the encouragement needed to face these days of uncertainty and isolation with faith. Let's worship our Lord together.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from heaven's praise His name. Praise Jehovah. Azure blue, a God is from you inside. He tints the skies with heavenly hue and frames the worlds with His great mind. There is a God, He is alive.
Who can question any of
With hearts high and heart abandoned.
Good morning. As we prepare for the communion today, I'd like to share with you some things that have been going on in my family for the last 10 days or so, and how those things actually relate to the message of Jesus. About 2 weeks ago, my mom had open heart surgery. A surgeon came in and repaired two valves in her heart and conducted what is called a maze procedure. And as I think back in preparation for that surgery, there I'm thinking of the consultation with the surgeon going into the surgery, where he explains what's going to take place. And there's something that really stands out about that conversation. At one point, he said the recovery is harder than the surgery. You see, he had described the surgery in detail, what we could expect, what was going to happen in that. And we had lots of questions about that. But he knew that we didn't need to be worried about it. That was his part. He was just explaining the procedure. But the hard part was going to be following the surgery, what was going to happen after that. And that was his warning to us. He knew that her body was going to be sore. He knew that she wouldn't want to do the exercises that he needed her to do in order to take advantage of the new gift. He knew it would be hard for her to get comfortable. He knew that the body and mind would resist taking advantage of that gift. You see, our minds want to do what's best, but it's often in conflict with the body and the repaired heart. Sounds a lot like what Paul describes in Romans, doesn't it? The war within us between our desire to do what is right and our struggle with the flesh. Paul reminds us not to be shaped by this world, but to be transformed within a new way of thinking. You know, this whole experience now has caused me to stop and reflect on the number of times that the scripture talks about the heart and what it says about the heart and mind. If you look in Ezekiel chapter 36, beginning about verse 26, the scripture says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God, and I will save you from your uncleanness." About 600 years later, Jesus comes onto the scene with his and those promises begin to come to fruition. After spending 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, and then coming out of that and hearing about his relative and friend John the Baptist being imprisoned, look at Matthew 4, verse 17. It says, "From that point on, Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Change your hearts and lives, because the kingdom of heaven is near.' For the next 3 years, Jesus fulfilled and brought about the teachings of the laws and the prophets. And on that last night that he was with his apostles before being arrested to go pay our sin debt, he is preparing them for his departure and his absence from them. He was preparing them for the trouble that was going to come. But he's also encouraging them about the help that he would send and his promise that he has overcome. He said, 'I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. And that helper will be with you forever. That helper is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he lives in you and he will be in you. I have told you all these things while I'm with you, but the helper will teach you everything and will cause you to remember all that I have told you. The helper is the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name.'" Wow. Jesus fulfilled what Ezekiel and the prophets talked about, saving us from our own uncleanness. He offers us a new heart to replace the heart of stone and a new spirit to help us through our times of trouble. Change your hearts and lives was Jesus' constant message. Change your hearts and lives and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit is the same promise that Peter and the apostles started sharing as early as Acts 2 and moving throughout the rest of their lives. And it's the same message that Paul preached throughout. As we begin to get ready to take the cup, you're with your families, you're with your friends, let's bow together. And we're going to say this prayer for both the cup and the bread, and you'll just have that intimate time with him. Let's pray together. Father, as we partake of the bread and the cup, let us remember the gift that Jesus gave us and the helper that you have sent to us. He paid our sin debts to make our hearts new, and he sent the Holy Spirit to help us in our struggles. We pray as David did in Psalms 51, Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us, but restore us to the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh,
Church. As we transition to this time of offering, I want to read from Matthew chapter 6. Here, Jesus is talking to his disciples about prayer. You know, prayer is that time that we connect with God. It's the time that we recognize that God is God and we are not. And he says this, "Our Father in heaven," that God is in heaven, "hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And verse 11, he says, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." As we think about our offering this morning, I want you to really focus on and think about this idea of give us this day our daily bread. The truth is in our society, in our culture, and really largely within our church, we have enough for today and tomorrow and the next day and the next and the next and the next. And so out of that, and because of that, so many times we've gotten into this habit of being self-sustaining, of not allowing God to be the one who provides, not recognizing that he is the one that's provided. And so as we come to this point where we give this morning, this is a recognition, a weekly opportunity that we have to say, you know what? God, you are the one who provides. You are the one who has given us all these things that we have. And so, God, let us use those things to your glory. I know that several of you tapped in and were able to give online this last week, and I thank you for that. We hope that all those funds are going to be used, again, to help people grow in their relationship with the Lord. Two different ways you can give right now. You can give online at antiochcfc.org/give, or you can mail a check here to the church, or you can drop a check by the church. There's still going to be someone here at the church building Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And so those are different ways that you can give. I want to pray and ask God to take this blessing, and not only to bless those who might receive funds that are given here through charity and through different activities at our church, but also for us as givers and our heart and how it affects us. So let's bow. Father, we come to you recognizing that you are the one who provides. You are the one who sustains all life. You are the one who gave us life. And Father, for that, we thank you. And God, now as we take a time to think about what it means to give, I pray that you would prepare us as individuals to be drawn into your presence, to understand that you are the one who provides, and not to be so self-sufficient, Father, that we forget that you are the one who gave us everything. Father, thank you for loving us, and it's through Jesus we pray. Amen. I do want to announce just a couple of things here. First of all, our online services are going to be now continuing through April the 8th. And so originally we were going through April the 1st. We're going to push that out one more week. And so Sunday, April the 5th will be online. And then Wednesday night, April the 8th will also be online. Lord willing, we'll come back together on Easter Sunday. But we will take whatever the Lord gives us and look forward to that. Again, if you are not getting any communication, I want to encourage you to go to our church website. You can go to Facebook. If you're not getting communication from the church, please email us at info@antiochcfc.org. And then that way we can get the information to you about what's coming up and what's going on with our church. I've been so encouraged by all the online stuff that's going on right now. There have been so many people who are tapping into Zoom and GroupMe and Facebook. And through the Bible app and devotionals. And I just want to encourage you to keep doing that. Keep connecting. Keep getting that time together as we are not physically able to be together here at the church. At this time, I'm going to turn things over to Oliver Claypool, who's going to read a scripture. And then after that, Brother Witt will bring us a message.
I'll be reading Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him onto the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up onto a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come onto the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have a little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed onto the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Good morning, church, and welcome to this online service of the Antioch Church of Christ. Mis hermanos y hermanas, bienvenidos. Oliver, thank you for the reading that you had this morning of Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And Todd, thank you for that communion service. I also want to thank Andrew for helping us get this messaging out. Messaging is very important, especially in times of crises, in times when you really want to get the word out and have clear communication. And I think Andrew and the rest of the staff have done a great job doing that. You know, we really all handle crises differently. I mean, some people use humor. Others are very serious. Some want to handle crises by being around a lot of people, which is challenging in this pandemic. But in fact, you'll notice that all the video platforms have really picked up. And so people are coming together through the video. Others, however, just want to be a recluse, just want to be very private. And so they really are in solitude. So it just really depends upon how we handle crises as to how what we do during this pandemic and as the body of Christ, the church. I do enjoy humor. I also enjoy solitude. So put those two together, and that's sort of where I am. Have a good friend of mine, a fellow chaplain, by the way, Chaplain Smith, who really handles everything with humor. And so I never know if he's really serious or if he's just kidding me. I got a phone call from him, and I thought he was extremely serious at the very beginning. He says, Whit, I've got a problem. And I said, well, what is it, Gary? He says, well, I'm telling you, I'm having enormous fear. I'm having enormous doubts. I have the devil whispering in my ear. And he's telling me that, you know, we're not going to make it through, that I'm going to get ill, or Pam will get ill, or one of my children, the economy's going to crash, I'll lose my retirement. All of these doubts. And I, on the telephone, I said, well, gosh, brother, what did you do? You know, did you like resist the devil and let him flee from you? He said, absolutely, I did. He said, the devil kept whispering in my ear, and finally I said, step back 6 feet. We really do handle stress differently, don't we? And humor is good. Messaging is good. By the way, if I were to ask you, what do you think is the most common command in all of Scripture, what would you say? Just right now, with your family or friends, wherever you're gathered, or if you're by yourself, think out loud. What do you think is the most common command in Scripture? Well, some may say, well, love God and love your neighbor. And that is clearly the greatest commandment. Deuteronomy chapter 6, Leviticus 19, 18, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus in Matthew 22 was asked by this rich young ruler, you know, teacher, which is the greatest commandment? And he goes back to the great Shema in Deuteronomy 6, and he says, love God and love your neighbor. So clearly, that's the greatest commandment, but in fact, it's not the most common in Scripture. Well, you may say, well, it's not really love God. It's got to do with sin. So the greatest commandment is sort of what Jesus told the woman who was caught in the act of adultery in John chapter 8, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. So love God or sin no more. But in fact, the most common command in all of Scripture is fear not. It's used in at least 366 verses. I mean, one for every day of the year, just about, and leap year, I guess. So fear not. And every time you read about fear not, take heart, it is I, have no fear, Matthew 14. Every time you read about fear, you always read about faith. And faith will overcome fear. Faith is the antidote to fear. I once read a saying that said, fear knocked at the door. Faith answered. No one was there. And in times of uncertainty, we are, by nature, fearful. And so the Scripture reminds us that if we place our hand in the hand of Christ, that all of a sudden, all of our fear will dissipate. And if we do that, we can walk on the water, metaphorically, even in reality, if our faith is strong enough. The text in Matthew 14, I think, has one lesson. And here's the lesson. So listen carefully, if you will, please. And if you don't get anything else for the next few moments, then write this one down. I think this is the singular lesson to this text. When the Lord extends his hand, take it and don't let go. When the Lord extends his hand, take it and don't let go. Jesus in Matthew 14 had just finished feeding 5,000 people. And after he feeds the 5,000, he tells the disciples, get into the boat. They were on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. He said, get into the boat and go to the other side, to Bethsaida, near Capernaum. It was evening time, probably around 6 p.m. When they got in the boat, he dismissed the crowds. He goes up the mountain to pray. During the fourth watch of the night, which would have to be from 3 a.m. to sunrise, 3 in the morning to 6 a.m. During the fourth watch of the night, with this raging storm, he sees, I think supernaturally, I think it would be challenging to see 3 miles in such at nighttime in the storm, but he sees the disciples struggling to cross the sea. So he decides he will walk to them. So he comes down the mountain, he gets on the water, starts walking. By the way, they've been rowing about 9 hours. This is the fourth watch of the night. They left the first watch of the night. So they've been on the water for quite a while. And they're well over 3 miles out. The Bible says they were 25 furlongs. A furlong was 220 yards. So do the math. We're looking at just over 3 miles. And so Jesus is walking to the boat where they are. They see this figure coming towards them, close enough to where they could see, probably 10 yards or so out. And they are, the Bible says, they're terrified. And Jesus speaks up immediately and says, take heart, it is I, have no fear. And then Peter says, well, Lord, if it's you, then bid me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come. And so Peter, with this enormous faith, steps out of the boat, walks on the water, maybe as far as 25 or 30 feet. And then he's in reaching distance of our Lord, and all of a sudden he has fear. He doubts. He feels the wind and he feels the waves, and he sinks. But while sinking, he cries out, Lord, save me. And Jesus, the Bible says, caught Peter. Don't know if it's his hand or his shoulder, but he caught Peter, and he just, you know, raised Peter up back on the water. And then he said, oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? You were so close. Why did you doubt? And then the next thing we know is they're back into the boat. The winds cease. And all of the disciples worship. They bowed down and they said, truly, you are the Son of God. So church, during this very uncertain time, when we really don't know, we hope this will end soon, we just don't know. We can have faith in our government, faith in our medical professionals, and I do, I trust them. But my real trust and faith is in God. And I think that we need to understand how this text can help us. So let's very quickly just look at the text. If you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 14, and I'm going to read just a few verses from verse 26. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear, but immediately he spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I, have no fear. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you on the water. And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. I still find that absolutely incredible. And came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Here, enormous faith, walking on the water, 25, 30 feet. And then doubt sets in and he sinks. I don't know about you, but I think we are just like Peter. I am. I realize that the Lord said, pray these words, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then he comes down a bit further, give us this day our daily bread. I believe that. I believe that God will always provide my daily bread. He says in the very next verse or two, in Matthew 6:25, he says, have no thought about anything. You know, you need to not be anxious about your life, what you shall put on, or your body, what you put on, your life, what you shall eat. And then he goes down to verse 33, seek first his kingdom. All these things shall be yours as well. You will not have to worry about food. You will not have to worry about clothing. in general, what our Lord is saying is, God will provide all that you need. I believe that. And then we hoard toilet paper. I'm not talking about others. I picked up as many as I could pick up as well. I'm not sure exactly why, other than everyone else was doing it. So I thought, well, maybe there's something here that I need to be aware of. But in the end, I find that just like Peter, I believe that God will provide, and then I tend to hoard if I could. You know, we don't hoard much. We have, you know, a handful of rolls of paper, and that's about it. If you need something, let me know, and I'll give you some toilet paper. Not more than 4 or 5 of you, though, because I don't have that many. We're just like Peter. One of my favorite verses of Scripture is in Philippians chapter 4. I've used it many times before. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known before God, and the peace of God that passes all comprehension will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God that passes human understanding is the true definition of peace. Peace was never the cessation of the storm. Peace was always discovering God's presence in the storm. And that's exactly what Peter did, and that's what the disciples realized. It wasn't the storm that they should have been afraid of, it was their own doubts. Look at verses 30 and 31 now. And beginning to sink, the latter part of verse 30, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said to him, O man of little faith, why did you doubt? I want to focus on the word little for just a moment. The fact is, Jesus did not say, O ye of no faith, O ye of zero faith. He said, O man of little faith. Do you think it took little faith to get out of the boat and walk on the water for even a foot, much less for 20 or 25 feet? It took enormous faith. And then little faith doubts and he sinks. Faith is a journey. Do you recall that text in Mark 9 and verse 34 where a man comes to Jesus because his son is possessed with demons, and he has begged the Lord to heal his son. And God said, and Jesus said, with God, all things are possible if you believe. And the man blurts out Mark 9:34, I believe. And then he added, help my unbelief. Man, is that brother wit or what? And I suspect that may be you. We have faith, and then we have little faith. Faith is a journey. During my journey of faith in my lifetime, there have been moments that I have felt extremely strong, you know, metaphorically strong enough to walk on water. Mountaintop experiences. Felt the presence of God in everything that I did, my prayers, I just felt God's spirit within me. And then there are other moments when I'm thinking, where are you? I mean, I pray because I'm supposed to, but frankly, Lord, I don't feel you. I don't hear you. I read the Bible and the words seem to be blank. And I just want to encourage you that when those moments happen, and I know they've happened, how do I know that? Because we're human. When those moments happen, remember the words of Jesus. O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Our Lord understands that there are times when we have little faith. And then, of course, the story closes when they got back into the boat. Folks, there are only two options. If you're 25 or 30 feet away from the boat, only two options for Jesus and Peter to all of a sudden get back on the boat. And the Bible doesn't share it. It goes from him saying, O ye of little faith, to all of a sudden they're back in the boat. But either Jesus carried Peter, which I think is very possible, but I think it's more probable that he and Peter walked together, hand in hand, back to the boat. It's so important that we take the hand of Christ in all that we do. Once again, the overall lesson that I really want us to take with us is when Jesus Christ extends his hand, take it, and don't let go. Yea, though we walk through through the valleys of the shadow of death. We will fear no evil. Why? Because you, God, are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. Hand in hand through the valley of the shadow of death, hand in hand through the mountaintop experiences, hand in hand all the time. Don't get discouraged if you have moments of doubt. It's part of the journey of faith. It's part of what the Lord expects, and nonetheless, you know, he can come right in. In fact, it may well be in times of the storm that we recognize God's grace more than any other. So I would encourage you as we go through this text and as you simply, as we live in this moment of time with all of these uncertainties, that we hold to God's unchanging hand. Isn't that song beautiful? Hold to God's unchanging hand. Let us pray. Father in heaven, yes, we experience doubts. Yes, we are so very human. But we also, Father, experience incredible moments of faith. And we ask that you help us draw nearer to you when we have great faith, and draw nearer to you when we have fear. May the faith that we have in you, Lord, overcome all fear. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you the glory now and forever. And all of God's people said, Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you.
Receive the benediction. Que la gracia y la paz de Jesucristo estén con ustedes ahora y para siempre. May the grace and peace of Jesus Christ be with you all, now and forever. Amen.